You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 237. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Mike Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me next weekend in Detroit, Michigan, doing two live shows, July 9th and 10th. Get tickets at turnersparks.com. Still a couple left. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on all social media platforms. Kaplan, today we're talking about the Japanese Olympics. For once, we're not talking about like a dictator being overthrown.
We're taking a break from the coups and the elections of the world.
We've got listener fatigue. We realize it's set in.
Well, you can't have too many coups, or it's like, you know, you have to balance coup, election.
So we're talking about the cluster F that is the Japanese Olympics. Japanese comedian Saku Yanagawa is joining us today. He'll be with us in just a minute to talk about that, Kaplan. But before we get to that, So next weekend, July 9th and 10th, I will be Detroit, Michigan. Get tickets now, everybody. And then July 31st, myself, Sir Michael Ira Kaplan, Dr. Andrea Jones Roy, and Dr. Professor Andrew Heaton will be at Stand Up New York Comedy Club in New York City, July 31st, Saturday night show, 6 p.m., because we know we have an elderly audience. So you can go to bed early. We'll be done by 8 p.m.
A lot of boomers. The boomers love us.
You can still make your dinner reservation.
Yeah, make your show.
Come see us. We're doing a live version of our roundtable show that we put out every month or two over here. And we're doing, but we're all four of us are doing stand-up comedy. I do stand-up comedy every night. Kaplan does it once every 18 months. We're all doing it no matter what.
I'm glad you bring that up because I had a nightmare the other night. I woke up in a cold sweat because I had a dream that we were doing the live show. I was standing backstage and you said to me, you're like, so how's your stand-up going to look? What do you got? Can you do a type something? And I said, oh shit, I'm doing stand-up. Did I really promise that?
You forgot about it.
I forgot I was doing stand-up. So I was like running. I was like, let me go next. Let me go next. And I was like trying to go through my phone for bits I had.
Just random ideas.
I was gonna make it. I was like, I'll make a prop. I had a whole I woke up in a real pit.
Prop.
So I was trying to figure out what I could use in the building to like save myself.
Go find a plunger.
I had an idea for a bit we could do instead. I'm like, why don't instead? So no, that's not gonna happen. I'm gonna do stand up. I'm gonna write stuff down ahead of time.
Well, you can every time you do it, you do great.
Thank you.
Every time being twice.
Yeah, two times. So now, yeah. Third time's where they get you, I think. So.
I will say it was a little long-winded one of those times, though, because you didn't know where the light was. But also, someone didn't show up, right?
Someone did show up. I saved the whole show because that's I don't know what happens if no...
See, me, I mean, this is supply and demand. I'm not really the big draw here because I do comedy every single night.
I'm the Bitcoin. I'm the Ethereum.
Miss you here, they have to wait 18 more months. They might be dead by then. We don't know what virus is around the corner.
That's how we should sell this. Before the next pandemic, you got to see my stand up once.
At least see it once before you're dead.
Yeah.
Kaplan, exactly. Now let's. And also patreon.com. If you want to support this podcast, which we know you do, we need you. We got 52 people now. We love Sugar Brady. We love Dennis Owens. We love Drew Frelick. We love all these people. But we can't survive on them alone. So join the club. Join the crew.
Yeah.
Join the party. And maybe what we'll do is we'll. How about this? What if we record the audio, the stand up? Because the stand up from the live show, we're not putting out as Lost in America as a podcast. No, this
mine has to be valuable. If we release that, there goes supply and demand.
What if we release it only to the Patreon subscribers?
Yeah, let's do it to the Patreons. I like that idea.
So if you can't make New York City and you want to hear Kaplan do stand up, you want to hear my new material, you want to hear Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy, Professor Heaton. You got to go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. And for $5 a month, you get that. And for $10, you get t-shirts. For $20, you get your own advertisement on this show. Dennis Owens, one of our $20 a month subscribers, has already given me a preview of his next ad. I'm very excited about it. He's laid out the next 2 months, his July ad and his August ad.
He's storyboarding it.
He is. I'll tell you, his August ad has to do with the NFL, the getting ready for the NFL. It's just us talking about things that he likes. So
okay, I could do that. I mean, and we're doing great. I mean, first of all, I'm in Rockport, Massachusetts right now. The YouTube people see a different background. I got a lot of takes from this vacation that I'm going to be giving to the Patreon listeners. I'm at the world's fattest beach. There's a preview. And you, last week, you got lost. It was an old school Lost in America. You
got lost in super Hasidic, Jewish. Yeah, super Jewish Brooklyn.
You were surrounded by the Hasids. You need to call me to ask you all the customs. I had to explain them to you. It was a great one.
I didn't know how to do it. Kaplan, it was like walking into a different country, these people.
Different times, in different
years. There were hats, there were beards, there was languages I didn't understand, signs letters. I couldn't read. And I went, where am I? And Kaplan said, you're still in Brooklyn, settle down. And then we took a half an hour, we went through it. Many people are saying it's our best episode we've ever done. So that's many exciting. People. Now let's get to today's episode, yes. Kaplan. The Olympics are happening in Beijing. Here's what I mean, sorry, not Beijing. Excuse me.
Whoa.
Oh boy. I've already canceled in Japan. The Japanese Olympics are happening, I believe, all over the country, right? Tokyo, but some events are all over the place as far as I understand. And now they're questioning, is this the time to do it? Let me just read you some statistics. 10% of the country has been vaccinated. That means 90% have not been vaccinated.
I can't believe that stat, by the way. It's Japan. We look up to Japan like that they get everything done better than us.
They seem 10%. Better than us at most things.
Their cars are way better than ours.
They're more
cars and video games.
Yeah.
So TVs, I don't know.
And their suits. They wear good suits. Business suits. Yeah. So 90% unvaccinated. The country has been locked off for a year to anyone from around the world. And now they're going to open it. They're opening the floodgates all at one time. So people from 200 countries are flooding into Japan. Tens of thousands of people from around the world. It seems like not the best idea to be holding these. What do you think, Kaplan?
I mean, first off, no self-respecting citizen of a top country, which I consider Japan to be a top country, wants the Olympics in their country. Normal times. You know, you don't want it. It's bad for traffic. It's bad for...
Well, I forgot an extra stat that you bring me to that. So they did a poll recently. 80% of Japanese people do not want the Olympics to be happening.
That's what I was going to guess. I would guess it was 75% before coronavirus. And the next five... Nobody ever... In New York City, I actually have an apartment because they were designated a spot of land where they were going to build an Olympic village if New York got the Olympics. And then everybody was so angry that we didn't get it, luckily. I have an apartment. Nobody wants it, I'm sure. I was going to guess that. And coronavirus... Definitely not.
I'm going to hard disagree with you there.
You want the Olympics in New York?
I'm not saying New York. You have a very, this is a very American-centric take you have right now. I lived in China when they got the Beijing Olympics, and you couldn't find a single person that was not excited about this.
Yeah, well,
when you're in the United States, a country that gets the Olympics every 6 years, of course you don't want it, but a lot of countries do want it. I'm going to say
Japan
this 80%.
Is in America.
I'm going to say this 80% is mostly a coronavirus thing. That's where I stand. You don't. You stand on the
All
other
right,
side.
Well,
that's
we'll ask
fine.
Our guest.
We'll disagree on that. Yeah. Two Ugandan athletes have already tested positive in Japan for coronavirus. Mm. So that's a bad sign. And on top of that, it doesn't seem fun. They have all these new rules that the people can't have sex with each other.
The whole point of the Olympics is to go over there and have sex with an exotic sport. Like, you're a basketball player, you find a fencer.
Yeah, you go find a bowler,
a baby
or
who can do it all.
You do the whole thing, a fencer and a shot put guy.
I mean, how do you think they got the dream team together? How do you convince them to go to Barcelona?
Of course. You think Magic's going over there without that? I don't think so. No. We know his record. Anyway, so let's bring our guest. Fantastic. This is amazing stat. He was picked as the Japanese Comedian of the Year in 2017 and 2018. And then he said, you know what? Enough. I'm moving. Or I don't know. He moved to America, I guess, 5 years ago. So
well,
I don't
you
know
quit
how
on top. Happen. You don't want to. It's hard to win three-peat. It's hard to three-peat. We learned that. So
that's when you go pro. You leave.
That's when you go pro.
Yeah, it's after two back-to-backs. Saku Yanagawa, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I'm so good. Yeah, I listened to your stories really carefully, and they're all good.
Did we do it right? We say it right?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So what's going on? Because I know you've been in the U.S. for the past couple years. Have you been able to go home during the pandemic?
Well, actually, I published a book this year. Then I went back to Japan in March to promote my book.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was there for months.
For 4 months. Okay. And how was it difficult to get into Japan?
Well, as a Japanese, you know, as long as I do quarantine for 2 weeks, you know,
okay,
it's really easy for me to go back.
Because you're a citizen.
Yeah.
As easy as getting into America. There's no quarantine when you get here.
Right? I mean, I should have done.
Oh, so. Self-quarantine. Yeah, you should.
You're supposed to by law.
Self-quarantine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it was voluntary. They weren't sticking you in a hotel. In Japan, did you stay in a hotel?
Well, actually, we should do it, but no one checks.
Oh,
you know, if we are in the hotel or like with in my house. So,
okay,
I think some people go around and go to the bar or something like that. Taiwan is really strict compared to Japan.
Yeah, a lot of Asian countries, you have to stay, and Australia, I know, you have to stay in a hotel that the government picks for you. Actually, I think Canada, they come and check as well. A lot of countries make you check. America doesn't really. It's all an honor system. It's like if you want to, you can. No one's going to check on you.
They call you on the phone in America.
So what if people? Oh, they call you. So
they ask you where you are.
So when you were there, are people excited for the Olympics? Are they scared of the Olympics? What does it seem like?
Well, honestly, most of my friends didn't want to hold the Olympic Games this year. And, I think most of people didn't want to do that.
Okay. Why? Why don't they?
Actually, as you said, less than 10% of Japanese people get vaccinated, right? It's a worst in the G7 country. Also, nowadays, the COVID case has risen. And it's also like a state of emergency right now.
Yeah.
So why should we do that? Also,
sure, that's logical. But
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But these Olympics were supposed to be last year, right? And then.
Exactly.
So they made a decision. We're going to still have it, but they didn't get people vaccinated in that year that it's coming up.
We have been spending a lot of money for 80 years since, Tokyo has been selected to the next Olympic place. Yeah.
Yeah. So it costs. What do we have?
You got a warning in New York?
I'm not. Emergency happening in New York City right now.
Oh, see, I'm not in New York. I'm not getting the emergency. I don't know what's going on.
Holy cow. Can
I Olympic alert?
Oh my God.
It's like there's an automatic thing you can't turn your phone off. Yeah.
It's a, I don't know. Someone else can figure out the emergency. So
we'll see firemen pulling Turner out of his studio momentarily.
Yeah, we'll see. What about, I guess let's start with the vaccine. So 10% of the country being vaccinated is surprising to Americans, mm-hmm. because we always Me think too. That Japanese are very careful. They're right, kind of do stuff ahead of what we do. As we were saying, why are people not getting vaccinated?
Well, I've been thinking why too, but I think, you know, even before COVID, Japanese people don't tend to get vaccinated for any kinds of, you know, disease.
Oh.
Only a few people get vaccinated for flu too.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah, okay. So one hand is people just aren't, people don't get vaccinated, but what about, I mean, the coronavirus, this is more of an immediate issue that's affecting everyone in the whole world. I would think that people would take it more seriously, right?
Yeah, I guess also like, you know, Corona started in Japan earlier than America, right? Like almost like February in 2020. So we have been fighting against coronavirus longer than America does. But I don't know. I don't even know why, but.
Well, what about like your family? Has your family and friends been vaccinated?
Yeah, my family got vaccinated just first dose because they're old.
Yeah,
but only, for example, over 70 can get vaccinated in some cities. Also, like in America, all we gotta do is to go to the Walgreens and you know.
Yes,
so it's easy to get vaccinated. It's hard to get vaccinated still in Japan, even if you want to.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
But in Japan, it's just like a vote. You know, voting for the Trump or Biden. You know, we gotta get a letter and we bring it to the
It's hard to get vaccinated.
Well, it's kind of like how it was to get vaccinated for us. That's how I got vaccinated.
In like January, February, yeah.
March. Yeah, as you had to go somewhere. Yeah, yeah. So on one hand, it's difficult. Yeah, and what about the trust? Like what I read in Japanese culture, we trust doctors and nurses, but don't necessarily trust the guy at Walgreens to give you a vaccine. Does that have to do with it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we trust doctors so much, but I don't know, like a drugstore stuff. Yeah.
I mean, we had in New York City, our mayoral candidate was Andrew Yang. He wanted Mr. Softy drivers to give people the vaccine. Yeah.
And they let vets give it to you. You can get it from your vet, I think. And
Your veterinarian. If they can give it to dogs, they can give it to you. So, and America, on one hand, we're very loosey-goosey. I mean, obviously, there's some people who are never going to get it, no matter who gives it to them.
We'll take a needle from anybody. We've proven that in America, but
under the bridge, wherever, who cares? We'll take it.
As long as you give me a lollipop.
And what about, I read that it's Pfizer's, what Pfizer has to do with Japan is give them the vaccine by the end of 2021.
Yeah.
So they're giving it to all these other countries first. And they're like, we'll get to Japan eventually. Because like in America, they had to get it to us by like whatever, the beginning of 2021.
Exactly,
so has that been, is it hard to get vaccinated?
Actually, especially our younger generation like us. So even if we want to get vaccinated, it's really hard for us to find a place and find the chance to get vaccinated. So that's why some people are really afraid, but some people don't care anymore. And they go to the bar and, they enjoy nightlife, even though the government said no.
What's open? Are bars open?
Yeah, actually, it's prohibited to serve the alcohol after 7 p.m. in Japan. That's kind of crazy for me.
That's when COVID comes after
happy
7.
Happy hour is still okay.
Yeah. But there are a lot of bars when I went back to Japan in March. Opened then
like illegally
because actually that's the point. The government cannot order bars shut down. It's just like an advisory.
Really?
Oh, it's in it.
Yeah, so because of the constitution we can't do that. So that's why government kept begging to any single bar owners like, please shut down for the country or nation. Yeah,
I mean, that's a great constitution that somewhere like number 5, we can't order to be shut down.
The Fifth Amendment of Japan is thou shall not make no law. Yeah. Bridging it's the right to serve alcohol after 7.
Okay. And then what about, can you, because I, you know, in some countries they lock, they kind of lock people in their homes at the height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I know that in 2020, Japan did pretty well with containing the vaccine, yeah, the virus. So. And then 2021, not so well.
Yeah. So when I was in America 2020, I thought, wow, Japan was a better country to go to be, because there were some shows, you know, then I could get a stage time probably when I was there. But 2021, I don't know why, but I mean, people kind of gave up staying home, and then they kind of ignored the advisory from the government.
In Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, after, if you're home for a year, I like also this idea that Japan had it first in February and we didn't have it yet. We had it. We just didn't, admit we had it. Yeah, we didn't know we had it. Well, we have friends who've got it in February of 2020.
But Japan had done a thing. I had been reading how they had like the three C's, where there was like, they were just telling people to avoid closed spaces, crowded spaces, and close contact. But yeah, they weren't closing things officially. And people, I guess, just listened for a while. But I guess over time, they just stopped. They're like, we got to go out. We got to have a life. Yeah. Kind of like here.
Also, like in America, people can do work from home, something like that, right? But yeah, in Japan, because of, I don't know, like people believe that Japan has a good technology, like, you know, good internet service or something. But the thing is, most of the workers, like businessmen, tried how to do commute in a packed train still. They couldn't be, you know, home. So,
well, Japanese businessmen is like known around the world.
I was going to say, Japanese businessmen do not want to be home with the wife and kids. It's not a Japanese businessman way to
live.
It's
like what we know about Japanese businessmen is they wear a suit. They work from like 6 a.m. until midnight. And then they drink the strip from club. Midnight until 6 a.m. And then they just go straight back to work.
Yeah, that's reading, not the best. Yeah.
When I was touring in Japan 5 or 6 years ago, I remember reading the newspaper one day. And it said, like, this is this revelation that Japan government is pushing this idea to take a drinking holiday for businessmen. And the drinking holiday, the whole idea was literally this. It was one day not drinking a week. And it was don't drink on Wednesdays. And they had all these doctors saying that, like, their life expectancy would increase by, like, 8 years if they all just took Wednesday off drinking.
Yeah, we call it kidney day off.
did it pick up any steam or no?
Did it work? No. Did people do it?
I mean, some people do it, but you know, in my case, I can't. I have to keep drinking.
You have to every day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how your motor runs, you know.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
So I could see that stay-at-home order is not working well with the Japanese businessman.
Yeah, they want.
I didn't think about that. Okay, so now the Olympics are happening. And as you said, I think we said it was $15 billion the Japanese government invested into the Olympics. And $3 billion of that has been in the past year. So really, it was supposed to be $12 billion. And then because they had to delay it by a year. It's been extra $3 billion. I don't know what you're doing in the year that costs $3 billion. But what about this idea? I also read that a big reason why they don't want to cancel it is because the next Olympics, 2022, only a year from now, the Winter Olympics, is happening in China.
And that would look bad.
They don't want China. The government of Japan doesn't want China to be the first Olympics after the pandemic.
Oh.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I don't think it's true. I mean, yeah, it's part of the reason the government, you know, keep pushing to hold the Olympics. But I don't know, like, if the people can kind of stay away from the government right now. I mean, people, I don't know, like, don't trust government right now in Japan. So if the government gives up and this cancel the Olympic, probably more people lose more people, I guess. So it means the Olympics must go on.
Wait, so you're saying that most people that you know, and as we've read, 80% of people don't want the Olympics to happen. But if the Olympics don't happen, people will still be upset. Is that what you mean?
Actually, yeah, because for example, there are many big company who sponsors Olympic.
Yes.
Right? So it's going to be unbeneficial for them. You know, cancellation is really unbeneficial for them, right? They're going to lose money. So that's why, anyways, they think we got to hold the games.
It's really not a great situation. If you don't have the games, then that sucks. And if you do have it, the whole country, there might be a gigantic, not only country, worldwide outbreak of coronavirus.
Yeah, was there ever a...
All these people now, not only do they get coronavirus in Japan, but they fly back to their own country at the end of it and give it all back to us.
Yeah. Also, we are not even sure if we can have audience or not.
Yes. Yeah. Kaplan, go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off there.
No. I was going to say, there was never a moment where they were going to have the Olympics somewhere else, right? So it was either Tokyo or bust. So there's a lot of you don't want to let the world down though either. If they didn't have it everyone they would probably never get it back. No, don't you think? The way IOC works, all the corruption, they would have. I just feel like you had to do it. As much as I'm against it, I think they had to do it. Now that I think about it, so.
It was the first Olympics in history to be postponed. I read.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to happen in 2020. There has been one or two. Oh, Japan had one canceled. Japan had one canceled in World War II. So this would be the second cancellation. You don't want to go through that. The idea is postponed it a year. And as you said, it's without fans. What are the rules now of the Olympics? There's no fans?
I mean, for example, there's only people who lives in Japan can join the stadium. But they're still discussing if they have an audience or not. But right now, so far, limited capacity, 10,000 members, 10,000 audience. But in the opening ceremony, they will have 20,000 people. But the thing is that I don't know why, but IOC people and the VIP people don't get counted as a number.
Oh, really?
So basically, you can have 40,000 people.
So you can have 20,000 of the unwashed people. Elites don't count as people. IOC is the most corrupt institution in the world, is it not?
Worse than FIFA, I think, right? It's number one.
Every single Olympics... the IOC gets caught taking bribes. I mean, it happened with us. Remember Mitt Romney? The reason why we know him is because he came in to save the Utah Olympics. Utah paid billions of dollars to whoever in the IOC. And then Mitt Romney came in and he saved it. But ultimately, Utah still got it. It wasn't like they didn't get the Olympics at the end. They just so the bribe worked. And the same thing happened with Japan. Japan bribed somebody in 2012 or some government official bribed $200 million to the IOC. They got caught, but Japan still got the Olympics. Every time they get caught, they go, well, you caught us, but we're still doing it.
We won't do it again. If you give us this Olympics, we won't do it for the next one.
So bribing works.
I'm pretty sure Japanese people are mad at the IOC for sure right now. Because one of the IOC members said the Tokyo Olympic would go ahead unless struck by Armageddon.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
that.
The IOC, and they're the biggest criminals here because I could understand the Japanese government saying, hey, listen, we have to have this. We've not only have we put all this money, but there's pride. There's country, pride of our nation. And we don't want China to be the first one to have it and all this kind of stuff. And we got to support our people and blah, blah, blah. But the IOC is literally just in it for money because they could easily just transfer it to, say, the United States or some country that is is further along with vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. So that's why last year, before the Olympic got postponed, that was like a battle. So which says let's postpone first? So Japan didn't want to say that first because if we say that, we have to pay a lot of money.
It's yeah, like, that's why it's like breaking up with someone.
Exactly. We're waiting for IOC yeah. says that.
So yeah. Who said it first? IOC?
IOC, yeah. Yeah.
I remember that last summer that it was a debate about if they're going to have it or not. And it would seem like insane. Kaplan,
we were talking about it here on the podcast. Yeah. Like, I guess the Olympics are next month. I don't know. Yeah, and it really went down. It would have been amazing if neither one said anything and they just had it with like four yeah. countries showing up.
And then you got these swimmers who are training at 4 a.m. like they have an Olympics, and they could have been eating donuts for a year. So, you know, yeah, but yeah.
So what's the deal? Is everyone coming? Is every country coming?
Actually, yeah, because they're going to have a special visa that they can come to the country with their staff members. And but Olympic Village is also twisted.
Okay, I want to get to the Olympic Village, but first we got to take a break. Kaplan, we are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy with the Ask a Political Scientist podcast. Yeah. Andrew Heaton, Professor Andrew Heaton with Ask, what's his Political Orphanage? There's too many politicals orphanage. In all of these. And us with Lost in America. Also, Andrew Heaton will be touring with me a bit around Oklahoma and Texas later this year. So you can come wow. see both of us doing shows together. Very exciting. The way World's Smartest Podcast Network.com. Check us out. And of course, get tickets to our show July 31st.
Can we add? We're always looking for new people to join the network, new smart people. And I saw another doctor has just come out of prison. So perhaps Dr. Bill Cosby wants to join the network.
Well, listen, he's a comedian. He's a doctor. He fits the bill.
He really fits the bill of what we're looking for. So we'll have to
what
talk
is he a
people.
Doctor of?
I don't know. A doctor of Jello? I don't know. No, I think he got an honorary PhD from some university to let him speak, give a graduation speech to.
And he
kids.
And he uses that as a doctor?
Yeah, doctor of pulling up your pants. I don't know. He tells.
Yeah. I mean, what a colossal blowhard. You spoke it. You gave one speech and they gave yeah. you an honorary doctorate at like Temple or, yeah. or Michigan.
I mean, maybe
or
he got a degree. I don't
and
know.
And then you use it for the rest yeah. of your life. Kaplan. All right. Now let's get to a word from your local sponsor. All right. We're back. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Saku, excuse me. All right. Let's talk about the Olympic Village. I want to talk about the rules. There's some crazy rules because they can't. So they have fans at these games, but it's limited. Are they going to do the cardboard cutouts like they do in America between the seats?
Yeah. I mean, I just read the article like the bed for athlete, the bed flamer made by cardboard. Did you read the news?
Wait, the bed that they sleep yeah. in at night?
Yeah. Yeah,
made
yeah.
out of cardboard. What does that have to do with coronavirus?
Get coronavirus. Get cut down on bed bugs, I guess. But
no, it's yeah, it's more like for SDGs, like sustainable. So
it's sustainable. That's hilarious yeah. because so mm-hmm. many of these athletes, especially the American ones, are pro like big time environment people, so they can't complain. If you yeah. say like cardboard sustainable.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I guess.
Wasn't
so.
it going to injure them though? I mean, aren't they supposed to be taking care of their bodies?
I mean, can you imagine like Giannis Antetokounmpo sleeping in a cardboard? Well, he's not. He can't play anymore.
None of the
now,
top NBA guys are going to the Olympics, right? Because they don't want to have to quarantine and all that stuff.
I mean, Booker is a lot. Some of them are. Yeah. Yeah. The new top NBA players are going.
Yeah.
So they're sleeping on bed. Yeah, they're sleeping on cardboard.
Do they know about the cardboard bed policy?
I mean, the homeless guy down the street from me sleeps on cardboard. He's fine.
Kevin Love can sleep on cardboard, but Devin Booker, no. Anyway.
And then they have to be in – they cannot arrive. These athletes cannot arrive to Japan more than 5 days before the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why, you know, they had to walk out in their main country and should arrive Japan, you know, really last minute.
5 days. And yeah, is that even yeah. enough? I mean, frankly, I've had jet lag last for 2 weeks before.
Yeah,
I don't even know if so. These guys are going to be falling asleep while they're running down the track.
That's why probably Asian country has a lot of gold medal.
Wait, that's a huge gambling point as a
yes.
gambler.
Yeah. I knew Kaplan's eyes would light
yeah,
up with that.
Japan and yeah, all anyone in the same time zone. I have to look it up.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm going to bet on all of them.
Taiwan.
Australia.
Australia. Yeah. Well, yeah, they're just going north. They're not going east-west.
Yeah.
And,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Or like bet against the U.S., Canada, Mexico.
The whole South America.
Yeah. Oh, my God. South America. It takes like 2 days to even get there.
There's no direct flight, probably. It's like, yeah.
I've flown from
European
Central America.
Too.
Yeah, I've flown from Central America to China. It took me 2 days. And I got sick on the plane. It was a disaster. The jet lag is forever.
Can you imagine you train your whole life for the Olympics and then you get there and you're jet lag. You're about to have your big moment and you're so jet lag you could barely move.
You're snoozing.
What a nightmare.
Trying to throw a shot put, just falling asleep. And then they have to leave 2 days after their event. So they're only allowed to stay. I mean, I guess if you're multiple events, but if you're in one event, it's a 7 day turnaround.
Yeah, for sure. Also, like I heard in the Olympic village, hug, high five, kiss, and sex are prohibited.
Hug, okay. Sex, high five. You're not allowed to high five anybody?
No.
In the village.
They can't. They can't. They can't high five. Even though they got a gold medal, they can't. I think elbow would be good.
Yeah. Oh, even if they get a gold medal, you're right. They can't, like, there's no celebrating. What about, like, on the track or anything?
This is the same rules as my kids' soccer league, all of them.
what about judo though? They throw each other on the ground.
Yeah, that's you know what I mean? That's more
or boxing.
Contagious.
Is there going to be boxing? Yeah, yeah. They're not allowed to clinch.
No clinch.
They hug in boxing.
Yeah.
What are Japan's? Yeah. Oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, 160,000 condoms will be provided there.
I read that. Here's what I read. I did some deep researching into this.
This is the one thing that caught Turner's eye.
This was very exciting for me because I read that the condoms will be provided at the end of their trip, which makes no sense. So when they're leaving Japan, the IOC or the Japanese government, whoever, gives them a condom to take back to their home country with the idea of being to promote safe sex in your home country.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like I heard, you know, if you put it, Japanese traditional painting pop up on the condom. So
what?
It's the,
like,
so if you put it, just like design. Yeah, it's really fancy condom, actually.
Oh, but what's the point of putting a design on a condom? I mean, I don't know how you're using your condoms. Yeah, actually. Oh, so you're not using it for sex then? You're using it for
Just souvenir, yeah.
I mean, what percentage of these condoms make it off the airplane on the flight home?
I've always been against them because I believe the Olympics should be like the ultimate dating site where it's like you get all of our best athletes in the world together. They should be creating super babies, super athletes.
Yeah.
The mixing of countries together. So
well, that's
going
to happen now. That's going to happen because there's great. They provided them with condoms, but they're not giving them to them until the very end.
I'm very happy with this.
I think what happened, and I'm just connecting the dots here, but I think the government decided to give everyone condoms. And then people said, hey, we're trying to protect ourselves from coronavirus. Why are you encouraging all these people to have sex? And they went, oh, good point. And then they came back and they came out of a meeting and they go, okay, new plan. We're giving
abstinence
them condoms
education.
At the end of the trip, which makes even less sense.
Yeah.
So there are about 18 years from now, like Simone Biles and I don't know, a shotgun put guy from the Ukraine are going to have this amazing kid.
And which country do we get? That's going to be, they could do a shot put gymnast combo. Because I don't think they're going to not have sex, what you're saying. The condom doesn't make their decision. Getting the condom.
I don't think so.
That's not how it works.
Wake up. It's the 20s, as I say. It's 2021. Yeah.
And also, if you leave, you have to leave after 2 days, so you're not going to have a long romance. It's like, we got to have sex now. I'm leaving in two days.
It's even more reason for people to have sex.
I know. They're like, it's great.
I don't even have to see you.
No consequences. And I don't have to wear a condom. I have an excuse.
Oh, can you imagine the past? That was a disaster. They had to pretend to date for 2 weeks. Walk around the village. Hey, you want to go, like in Beijing, you want to go to the Great Wall today? And then you got to go with his new girlfriend to the Great
Jackie
Wall.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee and Ben Johnson had to go to the pizza restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, let's go walk around the lake. Now you don't have to do any of that. You're in, you're out. No. It's like going to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's the best Olympics for sure for the athlete.
But what about no fans? So only Japanese fans. I mean, this is another reason to bet on Japan. They're going to have the home court advantage in everything.
I guess so. Yeah.
Because foreign fans are not allowed in, right? Like if Kaplan and I wanted to come and just watch, we can't go.
Even though we're members of the media? It's a press pass.
Yeah. So no, I heard already NBC people flew to Japan secretly.
Secretly, the NBC, Bob Costas, whoever.
Yeah, what about the
family members of the, are the family members of the athletes allowed at least?
I don't think they're allowed, because if we allowed a family member to join, you know, many people will be coming, and it's going to, you know, that we have to do PCL checkup every day. Then the thing is, the number of nurses is really, really small right now. I mean, we lack
number of what?
Nursing care people, like our
nurses.
Oh, nursing care.
Medical people.
Yeah. Not nurses.
That's why we have to hire people as a volunteer to check up.
Yes.
You know, COVID,
I read
PCL.
This. Yeah. Is it so while the country, and tell me if I'm wrong, but the country is in a state of emergency right now, right? Mm-hmm. With coronavirus, but yet the government is taking 500 nurses out of hospitals to get them to volunteer for the Olympics.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's the craziest thing, actually. Yeah.
Why not get volunteer nurses from around the world? Like,
yeah, why does the IOC handle this and they get people to?
Yeah, they could get 500 American nurses to come in, and or you could get 100, and you can get 100 from the UK or wherever else, and they get to go hang out. Now, then they're who's
that's a party
not using condoms. Yeah.
Well, they're all vaccinated, those people. So yeah,
yeah, that's a party. And
they'd rather
pay
the condom. Yeah.
No, go ahead, sir.
I said, you know, the government rather paid condom than, you know, nurse. Right.
Yes, so they'd rather they'd rather pay for condoms than nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the rules at the actual games? I heard there's like you're not allowed to cheer.
Yeah, but actually, even since last year, professional baseball game has been played.
You've had baseball
in the stadium. Yeah,
professional with no cheering.
Baseball. Well, we can't usually in Japanese baseball game we sing. We sing a chant for each players, but actually it's kind of prohibited. Just I don't know how to say it, that megaphone.
Oh, thunder sticks.
Sticks. Yeah, yeah.
They've ruined like the glorious songs, and they make them lame. Like NBA fans now, where, like American fans. Yeah.
So thunder sticks are allowed, but no chanting. Are you allowed to stand and cheer? I read that you're only allowed to clap. Or thunderstick.
Jazz hands?
Like woke people, can you snap?
Probably we just stand. I don't know if we actually cannot stand or not, but probably, you know, if the government or IOC said no, Japanese people follow the rule, basically.
Yeah. Do you know anyone going to the games? Like, are your family or
actually,
friends?
Some of my friends got our tickets. And yeah, that's the thing. Even if they got a ticket for some sports like basketball, popular one, they will be determined by lottery if they can go or not. Because they already sold more than 10,000 tickets.
Wait, so they have a ticket, but even if you have a ticket, there's still a lottery to see if you can use your ticket.
Yeah.
That's kind of
because they oversold, right? Last year.
Oh my God.
They haven't handled any of this well.
So. I see. No. That makes sense though, because last year the stadium set 100,000 people, and now only 10,000 are allowed in the big stadium. Yeah. So only, oh man, there's so many issues I haven't even thought of.
It's so crazy to me because I'm thinking in my head, we have fans at all of our stadiums in America, but I'm forgetting like when we had 10% of the population vaccinated. We had like no fans, or we had like some places would allow a few maybe, but this is
mostly nothing.
Yeah. Most places.
That's
the one thing we're
kind of forgetting is.
Yeah. It's hard to go back.
You know, we've moved, you're in Chicago. The US has moved really fast getting all these vaccines out. And you almost forget that the rest of the world is not on the same pace. They're not moving at the same speed as we are. So does it seem like in the future, Japanese people are going to get vaccinated, or is everyone giving up? They're just like, well, no one wants it. So
hopefully end of this year or next spring.
I mean, you can't do anything if it's only 10%. Because I know Australia is having real trouble getting their people vaccinated too.
Mm-hmm. So how many percent? About
I don't know exactly, but it's somewhere around that. It's 10, 20, something like there. And so what's the plan? Just never, people never get vaccinated? We just see what happens?
I mean, you know, Japanese people are willing to get vaccinated, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, first, all the people, you know, elderly people and the younger generation. And there's so many elderly people in Japan, right?
Oh, yeah. You have a famously elderly population. Yeah. No, I mean, they do. The statistics, they always talk. Yeah.
You're
they
right.
They register, basically. They got register. Then the government asked them to do it by internet, but they don't even know how to use computer.
We had that problem.
Yeah.
So it took so long, forever.
You guys have boomers too?
A lot of boomers.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Boomers in Japan. But we don't say, okay, boomer, though. We respect.
They respect their elders.
Respect the boomers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying, okay, boomer.
You just made a lot of fans on from our listeners.
Our listeners love that. Yeah. What about the sumo wrestlers? Are they getting them vaccinated? Because they're high risk.
Actually, that's the thing. in Japan, first victim of coronavirus, like a first person who died of coronavirus in the 20s was a small wrestler who got diabetes. Really? So that's why small industry are really, really afraid of getting COVID.
I would imagine.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they have their own rule. Each small house has a.
You mean they're training the training facility where they live, where they work? Yeah.
Yeah. So what about they cannot even go to drinking. They'll go drinking and they cannot even.
Oh, that's no good.
It's hard for them to maintain their weight. Yeah.
Is sumo in the Olympics?
Because I don't think so. Good. Japan and Mongolia.
I know, but I've heard that. Every time you host it, you get to add a few of your local sports?
Yeah.
They should add. It would be amazing to see just like fat white guys from Kansas try to do sumo and just get
thrown. Yeah, but some white sumo wrestler was so good, you know, before.
Really?
Yeah, like Hawaiian and Georgia. Georgia is like a European country.
Yeah.
And the Bulgarian, they were savage.
Really? Is Bulgarian sumo wrestlers?
Yeah. Yeah, but one guy got bald, so they cannot even have that special hairstyle. They retired.
Oh, really? Wait, they retired because they couldn't get the hair?
Yeah.
What? Wait, so he went bald, which happens.
Yeah.
And then he was because of shame? He was had so much.
I don't know.
They cannot have a
special hairstyle, right?
So you're talking like hair. The what do we call that, Cap? Where it's like it's long hair, but it's top.
It's tied and shaved.
Shaved on the sides like a bun on top.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you don't have a man bun, you can't grow one. If you lose all your hair, you have to retire. That's it.
Well, yeah,
that's shaming.
They're not hipster anymore.
We'd have Kevin Durant would be out of the NBA. What about how's comedy going for you? I know I've looked you up, I know you live in the US, but you've toured Africa, you went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, yeah, all around Europe. Where did you tour in Africa?
Uganda, Rwanda, and Kenya in 2017.
Wow. How was that?
Actually, I realized that their comedy scene is really, really big and that they know how to enjoy themselves.
Really?
Yeah. Their stand-up scene is more like a Def Jam comedy. So every single stage has a DJ or a drummer. Then when comedian says punchline, DJ goes doom. Yeah.
Wait, really? During your joke?
Yeah.
How does the DJ know when your joke's coming?
Actually, we didn't even have a rehearsal. So when I deliver a joke, DJ goes to doom. Yeah.
But what if you're not like a one-liner comedian? What, you know,
DJ has to be busy.
Can we get that? Can we get a Japanese DJ for our live show to help me out?
This is African, Kaplan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It would help me out either way.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't think that would work in like American style comedy because people are telling long stories a lot of the times. Your story is being broken up by a guy like DJing.
Yeah, at least we have to do the rehearsal.
Yeah. And yeah. What about your act specifically? I'm very curious about this. When you're in Japan, are you doing it in Japanese or doing it in English?
Yeah, actually, I did it in Japanese when I was in Japan. But, you know, in front of expats, I did it in English.
Okay.
But, for example, in 2019, I performed in the biggest rock and roll festival in the world.
Whoa.
In Japan. So like Bob Dylan, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kendrick Lamar, Oasis. Then I opened up for The Cure, the British Oasis. Band, for 1 hour.
Wait, you opened for The Cure?
Yeah, for 1 hour.
Wait, what year was this?
Was it?
In 2019. 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, 19. Oh, so you got to back together.
Yeah. In front of 40,000 audience.
40,000?
Yeah, that was the first time to do that in my life. But
wow.
I don't know. That was also first time to get ignored by 40,000 people in my life.
they all wanted, well, they didn't want comedy.
I can't think of a worse comedy audience than 40,000 people going to see The Cure.
Yeah.
They're not it. They're like, Monday falls apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break my heart. They came to cry. They didn't come to laugh.
Yeah, boys don't cry for sure. Yeah.
And Bob Dylan fans
did
too.
Did you wear makeup? Did you look like Robert
they
Smith?
They did it. Yeah, Robert Smith was, you know, Robert
but
Smith.
But did you?
Still.
I would have played the part.
I got up as myself as a very first stand-up comedian in the festival.
And you did it in English or Japanese?
Yeah, actually that time I did it in Japanese because I saw most of the audience were Japanese.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. And so what type of joke do you open with when you're performing with The Cure? Do you do jokes about The Cure?
Oh, you don't want to roast those guys.
I made some joke about other musician who just got arrested because of cocaine.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, I still remember, like, everyone was like...
Oh, really? They were not interested?
I completely bombed. Honestly, that was a mountainside. So outside the venue, so it's mountainside.
Oh, even
so there's
more
no
difficult.
Internet connection, no internet service. But I saw a bunch of people somehow use the phone, swiping me left all the time. That was horrible.
I saw a Japanese metal band one time when I was living in China. And Kaplan, you'll love this. This is how metal they were. It was the most metal thing I've ever seen. At the end of the set, their keyboard player smashed his keyboard.
Whoa.
We only have guitars. People smash guitars in the US, but we don't take it to the keyboard level. But it was amazing. Yeah. I was like, I think he's smashing his keyboard. He took it and was just hammering it.
It's weird to see a keyboard in a metal band, but
onto the stage until it flew apart. It broke into a million pieces. I was like, that's the best band I've ever seen. The music I didn't care for, but the smashing
stagemanship. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very impressive. Wow, 40,000 people. And
so I
would have done maybe a Cure joke or no, maybe you make fun of the Smiths. You go the other way. You take on one of the rivals, you know?
Yeah.
So just what version of Oasis was this that you saw? Was it?
It must have been just Liam Gallagher.
One of
think,
the
right?
brothers probably, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
So,
and so what about in America? Is your act different than it is in Japan?
Completely different, actually. Because my job in America is, I don't know, tell my perspective and based on, you know, my life as a, I call myself Lemon, actually, because there's some Asian American comics, which is really great. Then they're called Banana somehow, you know what I mean? Like yellow on the outside, white on the inside. I don't think it's a good word, but I don't think I'm a banana. I'm more like lemon because both outside and inside of me is yellow, right?
Yeah, and a little sour.
But, yeah, exactly. Yes. So I can be sour for American people based on my joke. And, you know, I'm a little bit Americanized. Like I have some white part inside too.
Yes. Oh, like the seeds.
Yeah. That's my job.
And what about audience-wise? Do you find... like Japanese audience, are they now accustomed to stand-up comedy? Do they react the same way an American audience would have been watching it for years?
They're so passive compared to American people. So that also, like, no one knows stand-up comedy in Japan. So that's why my job is to build up stand-up comedy culture from scratch. That's the reason why I wrote the book and, you know, I keep performing, even though I get, I even though I bomb. Well, in front of 40,000 people.
You're still performing for 40,000 people. You must be good just to even get asked to do that.
Do you know how to handle those Japanese businessmen when they get out of hand? The audience?
Oh, like, yeah. Do you get hecklers? People heckle in Japan?
Actually, no, that's why I got surprised, you know, when I got up on stage in Chicago last year and one of the audience members yelled at me like, "Hey, Corona," or something like that.
When they said, "Hey, Corona" to you?
Yeah.
Because you're Japanese?
Because you're Japanese, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Make? Yeah.
Because he thought you were Chinese?
Yeah. I mean, whatever, like Asian.
Yeah, that happened to me. Yeah. Can I tell you that? Last year, so I lived in China for a long time, and I mentioned it on stage. I was like, "Oh, I lived in China for a long time," and somebody goes, "Ew, coronavirus."
Yeah.
That was like last February maybe. And I was just like, "Can we stop for a second and everyone realize how racist that is that this person just said?" Was bizarre when that was happening. Yeah. So they said that to you. Some guy just stood up and pointed at you and said coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, he just said, "Hey, Corona," but that guy was drinking Heineken at that time.
Yeah,
that's why I called the waiter and I said, "Please bring 5 Corona beer for that racist."
Yeah.
And good who pays?
Yeah, Mexico, something like that.
So I get it. Yeah, what you're doing in the U.S. is telling people about Japanese culture. Your jokes are about being Japanese. But in Japan, they don't care. They're all Japanese, right?
Yeah.
So you have to switch the act.
It's more like observational humor and based on our daily lives.
And then what's your favorite audiences, American, Japanese, or from your African tour?
Well, African audience was super, super energetic, so I cannot forget about them.
I would love to go.
Yeah, that was a really nice moment. I still like American audience here because, like you said, I get even I can go back to the stage every single night right now. And in Chicago, show business has been back for sure, and ticket sells out really quickly. So I have missed it so much.
Yeah. And you moved to America. Did you move here for comedy? To do comedy. How did you pick Chicago?
Yeah.
I traveled. I performed in New York and West Coast too. Then I just fell in love with Chicago because Chicago's comedy scene reminds me of Osaka. Osaka is also comedy capital in Japan. Then I did a Second City. Did a Second City.
Oh, really? The improv?
Yeah. Then I was in a fellowship too. And I started performing in Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I started doing.
That's great, man. Well, where should people check you out? Where your website or what's the best place?
Yeah, sakuyanagawa.com or my Instagram, sakuyanagawa.
Yes. Awesome. And when will you be performing again in Japan? Do you know?
Actually, I'm not sure if I can go back to this year's Fuji Rock Festival, but I'm pretty sure next year. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to go back and do it with The Cure again?
Yeah, so much fun.
The Cure is waiting for Gallagher. Me.
Nice. All right.
When is Japan gonna be opened up? Because my kid really wants me to take him to Super Mario World, and gotta get that place open.
2022, good. Maybe once Pfizer fulfills that vaccine order.
All right, get vaccinated, people.
That's it. All right, Cap. Sure. That's it. What should we do?
We should get lost.
Get lost.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.